welcome to the Win-Win Podcast. I'm your host, Riley Rogers. Join us as we dive into changing trends in the workplace and how to navigate them successfully. According to research by Gartner, 84% of business leaders report their company's identity must significantly change to achieve strategic objectives. But how do you know when the time is right? And more than that, how do you ensure that the change goes smoothly? Here to discuss this topic is Shelly Luciano, Vice President of Strategy at Lia. Thank you so much for joining us today, Shelly. I'd love if you could just kick us off by telling us a little bit about yourself, your background, and your role.
I'm Shelly Luciano. I'm Brazilian. I studied industrial engineering in Brazil and in France. I started my career working in infrastructure in R&D. So that experience gave me a strong foundation on execution early on. So back in 2014, I moved to the UK to pursue my MBA in London Business School. I used business school to transition from a technical background into strategy in a global scale. So after my MBA, I spent 3.5 years in strategy consulting. That work helped me learn how to work with companies to see how they would compete in larger markets. And what I realized is, although strategy consulting is so intellectually fascinating, I was being more and more drawn to the business. So I transitioned into tech about 5 years ago. I joined what was then Contract AI, which is now Lia. Today, I'm Vice President of Strategy and Operations. My team focuses on aligning strategic priorities and support cross-functional execution, and ensuring our go-to-market approach reflects both where the company's headed and what our customers need. One of the most valuable parts of my role is staying close to our customer base. So these conversations gives me and the company a lot of valuable insight into how the market is evolving and how organizations are actually adopting AI. I then bring these insights back into the organization, back into Lia, to transform product direction, enable our customer success team, and ensure that our strategy remains grounded in real market needs. Because ultimately, my role sits in the intersection of strategy, go-to-market execution, and customer insight.
I think you have a fascinating role, to be quite frank, and also a really wonderful story. To go from, I'm trained as an engineer, now I've got my MBA, I'm in consulting, and today I work in tech and have for the last 5 years. That's really an incredible journey that I imagine must have given you a real wealth of experience that serves you very well at Lia.
It's funny because if you ask me, you know, I graduated in Brazil 2010. If you ask me what I would be doing now, I wouldn't have guessed, right? The world has changed so much. My world has changed so much. So I feel very, very lucky and blessed to do the job that I do. I really like it. My company is fascinating. My role is fascinating. My company gives me the room to change as long as I'm adding value. My team is adding value. So I am like really happy, you know?
Yeah, and that's certainly evidenced by the fact that you spent 5 years in one tech company when the average tenure is just over 2. So something really must be going right. I'd love to dig a little bit deeper into this exciting, challenging, and kind of evolving role that's been keeping you at Lia for the last few years. You know, you're there to keep an eye on what's happening in the market so your reps can tell a story and your engineering teams can build a product that the market both wants to hear and to see. And more than that, you're also there to break down silos and operationalize your strategy so it really shows up in everyday workflows. In this work, what kind of things tend to crop up? Challenges, obstacles, and they make it difficult to build the connections that bridge that gap between strategy and execution.
So for me, there are two major challenges I see in equipping internal teams to drive growth. First is that strategy and execution often evolve at different speeds. So for example, a leadership team can align relatively quickly on a strategic direction, but translating that direction into how hundreds and thousands of people operate day to day can take much longer. And for me, I gotta bring it to strategy, right? But the strategy only really lands when it keeps showing up in customer conversations. So when what you portray is aligned with what your client base and the market is seeing, right? So if the people they're talking to every day don't understand the problems that your company is solving and why, then your strategy hasn't really landed. It's just a deck, right? It's lovely to be able to build those ideas, but you gotta be able to execute on them. As companies scale, the complexity increases much faster than people expect. So you have more industries, more personas, a larger product portfolio. And if you don't have the right systems and alignment, that complexity can create a lot of confusion internally. And if your team isn't internally confused, then everyone else is, right?
So your job is to keep an incredibly close pulse on the market and on technology as they both evolve. And it's a little bit of an endless task, right? Because the market will always shift and technology will always evolve. So you've got to be right there with it as the voice of reason almost for the organization, telling everyone, okay, here's what's happening and here's how we're going to move with it. So as someone who, by job description, is very comfortable with change and evolution, can you share with us how you're thinking about how Lia, as an AI-first company, is keeping pace through major technology shifts? And then how other organizations should think about translating these shifts into their own organizational and operational processes?
So Lia has been an AI-first company for years, way before LLMs. So what changed with LLMs is that the speed and scope at which we can execute our strategy is much faster. We've been using machine learning in our platform for a long time. So the foundation was already there. We already had a really strong team. So what LLMs did was introducing a step change. And our founder, Sarvav, is a visionary. And he saw straight away how that was going to change the game, right? All these changes in the past few years did not change our direction, but for the client base, really, what they can see is that LLMs have expanded the use cases that we can deliver, right? And I think that that's what matters to customers. Like, how can we solve more of their problems? So with Lia, we've moved from being traditional automation into what we describe as an agentic operating system. So that means that our AI is not just supporting workflows. We can do much more than that. We can now reason across data, understand context, orchestrate actions. That is so exciting, as you can imagine, for someone that works in strategy, because it's limitless, right? So going beyond static workflows, you now have systems that can adapt dynamically to the problems that we're solving. And that's where the speed, the pace of innovation really comes in. Because once you move into an agentic model, you're no longer limited to predefined use cases. You can continuously expand how AI is applied and across not only our internal organization, but our client base, right? So from a strategy and operations field, the challenge is not adopting the technology, because we've been able to do it and we continue to, but the challenge is how do we operationalize it, right? And for me, as you know, strategists love frameworks. So I could say, if I had to group it, I would say like in three ways, right? So the first part that I look into how to start this is like, what is our strategic focus, right? Because the risk with AI, as I mentioned, within all this opportunity, the risk is diffusion. So we need to be deliberate about which use case we prioritize. Then we need to define where we can deliver most value, because being AI first doesn't mean doing everything. It means scaling the right use cases. Now, the second part of my framework, so one is, how do we strategically think about AI and what we can do it? And then the second part is, how do we translate that into go-to-market? As I mentioned before, for me, strategy only really lands when your customers can speak about you. Leah and other organizations need to understand how to position AI. We need to be able to explain it clearly so we can apply it across different industries in different contexts. And that's where systems like HiSpot can really help us translate this within our organization and externally. And then the third thing is we have to have continuous customer feedback loops, because customer proximity is the most valuable strategic signal we can have. For you to be a strategist in tech, what you need to know is that your goal is not to define a static AI strategy, anything static. You're always on a feedback loop, right? And you need to be able to be agile, and the tools that support you and the teams that support you need to be comfortable with always learning and always put our best foot forward.
So as you alluded to, you and the team actually recently went through a rebrand. So from Contract Pod AI, you became Leah, named after the organization's flagship AI offering. Now, I'd be curious to hear how, with these challenges to strategy-aligned execution that you just shared in mind, how you and the team made sure that everyone was telling the same story and supporting the same strategy, even as the brand message and narrative shifted so drastically.
Leah was already a product of ours that has taken a bigger and bigger piece of our client base. So when we came to Leah, it was a challenge, right? But we were facing that because we already had the Leah product, which we launched around 3 years ago. So going from Contract Pod AI that was very contract focused into Leah made sense. So the more and more the Leah product became a bigger part of who we were, our identity. So when we came into becoming the Leah brand, we were kind of ready. You're never fully ready for a full rebrand. There's still a lot of work, but we had put tools and processes in place to help us in that transition. In 2021, we had just raised $115 million from SoftBank's Vision Fund. So at that point, I knew that we were going to grow exponentially. So I wanted to manage as much as possible growing pains. So at that stage, we were evolving from having a relatively general pitch to a much more sophisticated messaging tailored by industry and personas. And our platform was expanding even back then. I realized that we needed a way to ensure that their entire organization stayed aligned on how we communicate value. Because as company scales, complexity increases. You have more products, more industries, more way customers can use your platform. So that's when trying to solve that problem is when we looked into HiSpot. We wanted HiSpot to help us ensure the entire organization could work from the same narrative. HiSpot is now used across our sales teams, SDR, CX team. And actually, it has expanded because once people hear about it, they want to know like what the go-to-market teams are presenting, right? So I'm really glad they implemented HiSpot like 4 or 5 years ago now, because since then, the customers that we serve have grown. And the breadth of our platform has grown. Putting in place things before you come to the stage is actually really important.
Can you walk through where HiSpot fit into the picture and how you and the team used it to kind of trickle down that message? So to your earlier point, strategic vision didn't get lost in that wonderful game of telephone between C-suite strategy and individual contributor execution.
So when I came in, we had a general pitch on how we went to market. And then one of the reasons I was hired is that I came in to do an industry strategy. And there was a lot of research involved, both internally, how we were using the tool for certain industries, then looking at the market potential, looking at our product fit for each industry. And based on that, I prioritize a few industries to start developing content and enablement around. But that's when I looked into HighSpot, because we had like a SharePoint at that time. And the SharePoint was already not fully updated. And then people pasted things on top, or they just saved something into their computer and then never checked the right version. So I came with HighSpot with a very core use case. We had other use cases. There were other things, details, features that we wanted. But in reality, the problem that I wanted to solve is I wanted one single source of truth. And it seems like a SharePoint would do just fine, right? But it didn't, because we needed something that would help us. Because what I saw is that as we continued on that scale of product growth and use case growth and everything growth, it was going to be really hard to enable everyone on it and make sure that people access the information that they needed at the right time. So that's what we got HighSpot for, and that's what we continue using it for.
So once you kind of defined the strategy of the rebrand, where did you see friction between, you know, when you're telling reps, hey, this is our new message, our new strategy, and then what they were actually saying and doing in the field? Where was their misalignment, and how did you and the team tackle that?
So once the strategy and story are defined, the real challenge is behavioral change at scale. So organizations tend to align on a narrative relatively quickly at a conceptual level. But alignment solely is not the end goal, execution is. And execution, particularly in customer conversations, can take time. So the friction I've observed, it's not resistance, it's normally a knowledge gap or a confidence gap. Because sometimes you have the knowledge, but you're not confident about the knowledge. So as your platform evolves and you're not only selling a single product for a very defined use case, you're actually helping customers on a journey, and you're having to understand a variety of different challenges across different workflows, industries, personas. And in that environment, the challenge is not whether the teams understand the narrative. Well, it is the first challenge, but that's not where we have the biggest friction. It's like, okay, so they understand the first narrative, but how do then apply is dynamically in real conversations. So what we consistently see is that reps are comfortable with the core story, right? But the uncertainty appears around the edges. So when a customer asks something slightly outside the standard pitch or challenges how the solution applies to their specific context, that's where execution, from my view, can break down. For reps to be confident that they are using the right language and positioning the platform correctly, they need to know a level deeper. What I've noticed is with all this advancement with AI, it's great because we can develop things so quickly, but then that's when the challenges come, because particularly when you have like emerging technologies, they are so fast paced. You have a new thing every week. If your software can deliver so much, there's a lot of questions that they need to feel that they're prepared for. And we need to give the organization the ability to operate with clarity and confidence in this complex environment. HighSpot has helped us do a part of that, particularly making sure that the teams understand like how we're positioning ourselves. But then there's a lot of like more technical enablement training that we need to make sure that they do. Teams have to prepare for conversations within different contexts, right? And that fundamentally changes how an organization executes. You can't just memorize stuff. You need to understand. Because ultimately, scaling a company is not about having the best strategy on paper. It's about ensuring that all of your employees can bring that strategy to life, right? And showcase it with a passion.
Yeah, I love the way you landed that because you're 100% right that to a certain extent, it can be a knowledge gap. And another layer of it can be that confidence gap. But then that third and final layer is the context gap, right? Of can reps embody the strategist? Can they embody our strategy? And, you know, reps want to do well. It benefits them. It benefits you. And so it's not like when things are going awry, it's intentional. You know, it's hard to get up to speed and to start delivering in this, the field, especially when things are changing so rapidly. And so if you can slowly, slowly, slowly bridge all of those gaps, your strategy starts to kind of encompass your whole company. And again, I know I said it earlier, it is such a cool role that you have that you get to bring that to life and then watch it trickle out into every customer conversation that your teams are having. You know, you mentioned 2021, you were responsible for the implementation of HighSpot, and it's been 5 years since then. So in that time, what key results have you seen? Any wins that you're especially proud of, whether that's early on or today during this rebrand phase that you're in currently?
So HighSpot now is widely used across the organization. We have the sales team, the SDR team, the CX team. We have all leadership using it. And initially we bought licenses only for the sales team. And then we have over doubled, if not tripled, our licenses because people just continue asking access for it. So I think that's one of the biggest things. But what I see and why I continue investing in the platform is that one of the biggest impacts is consistency, right? And you want to be consistently delivering and position yourself in the market. As our product offering expanded and we were serving multiple industries and personas across different regions, it became critical that teams could access the most relevant materials quickly. So HighSpot ensures that everyone across the organization is working from the same narrative and delivering a consistent experience to our customers or prospect customers. So that alignment becomes very, very important as the organization scales. For me, one of the most impressive things after a rebrand was from the next day, we were Leah. Everything had been changed. Everything was Leah and HighSpot. And I was like, I knew that the marketing team was working like crazy, but from that day on, everything was available to us. That's what tools are for, right? Like when you buy a tool, you want to make sure that it makes you look good.
I mean, I can imagine that's a monumental task to take every single piece of collateral, every single deck you've ever built, and overnight it updates. Every rep has all of the content, all of the messaging, everything they could ever need to hit the ground running on day one of the rebrand, day one of Leah. So to the point of bringing strategy to life, well, you did it. Very early on, you said you're never ready for a rebrand. And yes, it is certainly a big task, but it does seem like you've come through it on the other side, survived and successful. And so that kind of takes me back to the last question I had for you, which is for other leaders navigating a rebrand or shifting message that are trying to position themselves in a market that is constantly changing, what advice would you share? And I know, big question.
So one of the most important lessons for me is that rebrands are not simply marketing exercises. They're full organizational transformation. The success of a rebrand depends on whether the entire organization is bought in and understand the narrative. And if they feel confident communicating what you're doing to your customers. So again, like I said before, but the success of the rebrand for me, it's only clear when you see that it landed with your customer base. So another key element is staying very close to your customers during the process. Understand first how they are going to perceive this, but really once you've just done it, what are their initial reactions to be able to address anything? Because that's your most valuable insight. Because they really know how you're positioning yourself in the market, but then what you can actually deliver And you want to make sure that they know that what you've changed feels true to you. Luckily, with Leah, on our front, the customers were positive about our rebrand. They felt that it resonated the narrative. And so when your organization combines strong and strategic direction with your customer insight, you're much more likely to build a story that's authentic and compelling. And that's what you want with your brand. It needs to make sense. People need to know that it wasn't just to just look good. It needs to resonate with the company and what you're offering.
Yeah. You absolutely need to prove that this is something that is worthwhile, valuable to your customer base, and tells the story and provides the value that they're looking to achieve. Because otherwise, to your point, it just winds up feeling like a vanity exercise because, you know, oh, I didn't like our colors, or I didn't feel our name was quite right, and so on and so forth. And you needed to be strategic, and not only that, to feel strategic. Great advice that really validates all of the work that you just walked us through. Shelley, thank you so much for joining us today. It has been an absolute pleasure talking to you and learning a little bit more about the work that you're doing at Leah. To our audience, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Win-Win Podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for more insight on how you can maximize go-to-market success with Hivespot.